ghetto.
You are now beyond the ghetto. Broadcasting from the rainy city of the Lower Mainland, here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, you are now beyond the ghetto.
Recently, our co-host Andrew brought his partner Alec from Montreal. They're in a long-distance relationship, and Alec appeared on the radio, and both Andrew and he were talking to me about the trials and tribulations of having a long-distance relationship between Montreal and Vancouver here on Beyond the Ghetto.
Today I'm talking with Andrew and Alex, and they're a couple, and you know Andrew from previous shows, and we're just going to talk about their lives and relationship and Montreal, and because this is a relationship that's been going on for a couple of years out over across Canada, right?
Yeah.
And Andrew's been hopping about all across Canada, and Alec, you're here your first time in British Columbia.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome. That's good.
Thank you.
So what do you think of it?
Well, it's really nice. The scenery is extremely nice. The people are extremely nice also. I've been going to restaurants quite a few times, and we've been talking a little bit with the people, and, oh, you're from Montreal. How is it there? And
did you grow up in Montreal?
I grew up in Laval, which is a suburb just north of Montreal. It's an island, basically. And I grew up in a highly residential section. It's all bungalows, and well, there weren't a lot of people my age in that section. It's an old part. There were not a lot of people. It was as I said, it was an old part of town. There were a lot of older people, and the population oddly didn't really change in the last years. But it's only now starting to change a little bit.
So how did you guys meet?
He had an interesting literary website which had a bunch of poetry, and he wrote his own stories, short fiction, and I found it interesting, especially his poetry. So, because he writes in a style that is still quite it's French, basically. It's French translated, or his thoughts in French, in his French culture translated, kind of. And when you do poetry and you be creative with it, it really gave me a sense of who he was. And it never occurred to me that that language was dictating how he wrote and stuff.
Your poetry is in French, Alec?
In English mainly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just thought, well, because...
But you said the expression was...
The expression was in French, because the way he arranged the words, the way he used certain expressions, we'd never think about using it in English. He'd use idioms, he'd use expressions, he'd order the words in a way that I'd understand probably what he's saying now in French, but at that time I thought, wow, this is really eccentric, or this is really neat. I've never heard anyone write like that.
Now, you write verse yourself, right?
And I do.
It's also very poetic in a way, but it's actually not conventional poetry.
Yeah, no. No.
But it is writing. It's
I was
writing.
Never really a big fan of conventional poetry.
When you saw Alex writing, did you contact him or how?
Yeah, casually. I added him on MSN, and I didn't think much of it. He was 3 hours ahead, and usually we never cross paths. Like, right. He'd be offline for weeks at a time, and I'd never see him online kind of thing. I never figured out what his schedule was.
A bit of time.
It took a while.
So, Alex, about your poetry, how long have you been writing, and what got you into it?
Well, I started writing when I was in the second year of high school. I started writing in French, but, well, I showed a little bit to my friends, and didn't get a lot of things, so, well, I started writing in English and tried posting a little bit on the internet, and I got a lot more feedback, so, hey, I'm getting feedback, so I'm going to write a little bit more in English, and I liked it, so I continued.
And then
he messaged me on MSN, and
right.
He started talking a little bit.
It wasn't until my best friend got me a job at Milestones at the airport that I started working whole days until about, I'd say actually 8 or 9 o'clock. And what we do is we send each other short little notes on emails. Just because, I don't know, at first it was fun. It was just like an exchange of comments about our poetry. Then somehow those emails became longer. And then I found myself looking forward to his responses every night. I hated my job. And then eventually I thought, well, all this money saved, why don't I take a vacation? My mom's friend's daughter, she went to Quebec City to learn French, and she went to Montreal, and she loved it there. I told Alex that I'd be coming for 8 days in September.
After my field trip in geography, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
And then the second day we met, and I know exactly the spot we met. And then we went to Old Montreal for breakfast.
Oh, Old Montreal's pretty romantic, too, isn't it?
Yeah,
I remember. Fun.
And then you had to go to class.
Yeah.
You left me with a binder, a nice, neatly organized binder full of your poetry, all neatly organized pages with lyrics and what they and how they corresponded to the poetry that you wrote when you listened to those lyrics. And you even burnt me a CD that went along with it.
Comfortable with each other, or there's sort of still this like you're trying to impress each other or curious about what each other was thinking about? Or
it was more curious. We never tried to really impress each other.
So would you say you guys just felt like you fit together, you hung out together, you just were comfortable together from the outset?
Well, we were comfortable together, but something was starting to form a little. Mm-hmm. We met, if I remember correctly, a few nights later near my place. The weather was terrible. It rained a lot. It was the remnants of a hurricane that we had on that evening. And, well, we met. We talked a lot around where I lived.
We thought it had passed.
Andrew actually told me a bit about this story.
Yeah, remnants of it passed during the day. So I thought the night would have been better. And it actually stopped, and I called Alex up and said, hey, why don't I go by your neighborhood?
Now, were you soaking wet walking around Montreal? Is that what was going
on? Yeah. I was soaked by the time I met him.
Well, there was a small thunderstorm-like shower that happened. Mm-hmm.
And I got off on the wrong bus stop.
Yeah.
And I tried looking for you with my cheap $1 umbrella. Mm-hmm. So I was soaked, and I went to a pizza parlor to look for directions.
So you were caught in one of these, you know, southern Canada storm things that go through the St. Lawrence Valley and come all the way up to Ontario. And, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and then...
So you were rescued? Is that what's going on?
Alex found me, and we looked at each other and were like, we're drenched. This sucks. And it was awkward at first. And then he's like, well, why don't we go somewhere with shelter? Good idea, Alex.
Yeah, it was a really good idea.
So we went to this school.
Nearby
that had a little corridor with a little roof over. And we stayed there and dried up and really didn't do much of anything because it started raining heavily. And then I started to seduce him.
So romantic, though. In the summer, in the school, in the rain.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, didn't I promise you a finger massage? So because you were shaking from the cold.
Yeah.
So I warmed your hands. And then what, Alex? Didn't you say the most awkward part?
And then I think we kissed, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I came across a fallen tree. I felt the branches, are they looking at me? Is this the place we used to love? Is this the place that I...
How would you maintain and keep dating and keep your relationship up over such distance? Because you would be coming back to, like, Vancouver.
Well, yeah. It's not an easy thing to say goodbye and, well, to know, to love someone, and that this person's really far away.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we kept contact for a while.
We had issues.
Yeah.
Well, was there any kind
Alex
of thing
had more
like...
issue than I did. Actually, I
what,
still
what
had
would
an
that
issue.
Be?
Well, we just... practicality.
Yeah, was there that kind of like thing where I was just talking to somebody online and it's like, this isn't going to work, we're too far away. I mean, I just, it's too much energy, blah 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 blah. Was there some of that or
no? It was more like we just thought, well, this is absolutely ridiculous. This was totally ridiculous.
Because,
and I knew that before.
You didn't
I
think
went.
It was going to work over such yeah. distance.
Yeah, okay. And before I even met him, I already made a mental note. I was like, if it ever happens, this is not going to happen. I was just like, this is not going to happen. Oh my
and,
god.
And what did you
get into?
And what did you think about? Similar or a bit different?
Well, I thought it would have trouble happening since, well, he was far away, but I still thought, well, I might be able to still do that. Or maybe there's a way around. Maybe.
No. You thought that 4 months later.
At least I thought that 4 months later, but I still thought it.
But at the moment.
At the moment, well, it was really hard.
When was the next time you saw each other in person? Like how many months?
So, it was a good 7 months later.
So, did you just keep up conversation?
Well, yeah. It was easier. It was still very hard, but it was easier because for 4 months we actually didn't seriously commit. Like, for the first 4 months, we kept contact, and emotionally, we were there, but we just thought, okay, this is not rational. So I went clubbing, socializing, and apparently I met quite a few, 3 or 4 people who bought me drinks and stuff, and actually, you know, one of them, I was in class, I took full-time studies as a career practitioner in Kwantlen to be what I am now, and last place I would ever expect somebody to hit on me, and then that same day someone messaged me on Facebook, and so I met up with him.
So you weren't the type, you didn't have much time or energy to go out to clubs and do
that kind of stuff. No, it's not even, well, I don't go to clubs,
yeah.
I must admit it that I don't go.
So, at 4 months, there was a turning point, you both agreed.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be together. So how are you going to facilitate that if
well,
you're going to be pragmatic? Or
at that time, I didn't really have any idea how we would figure that out. It kind of crystallized itself after probably in March. So it was in January. We kind of decided that in the beginning of January. After that, I finished my courses, and I did a lot of volunteer work through my practicums. And I was employed after that, so I was thinking, okay, I'll make another trip out in June.
Hmm.
So, June became May.
Oh, okay.
Because a friend of mine wanted me to cover all his shifts in June so I'd make some extra cash. So in July. And so I took half of May and all of June out to go to Montreal. And I took a bus. I took a bus from Vancouver to Montreal. Non-stop, 72-hour ride.
So you did that, and you got there, and...
I got there.
How was he? Was he tired, Alec?
He was really tired. It took him, I think, a few days to get all the back on track, especially since, well, you have this three-hour change. And since he's more of a night person, well, the three-hour change...
There's still a jet lag.
Problem. I'm more of a daytime person, and he's more of a nighttime.
So was this visit, because Andrew was tired and you had your work, was it? Would you say it was harder? Because this is now you're thinking of commitment, and it's not the first time. It's not the romantic high, or was it? Or
oh no, it was still there. Oh, was it ever high?
Yeah.
Was it ever intense?
Okay.
Yeah. The romantic intensity that most new couples face gets extended quite a bit when you do long distance.
Yeah, I can imagine. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, as
yeah,
they say.
It depends for how long, but mm-hmm. for us, it was just the right amount of time. And my stay, in fact, became a lot longer than expected. And my...
How much, like how long?
Months more. A few more months extended.
So you stayed, you lived in Montreal, basically, for a summer?
Quebec.
Yeah.
Quebec, because I received news that I won a bursary to be in French immersion. So I took that opportunity and I left Montreal 4 days later than I scheduled and told everyone back home in Vancouver I would not come back until I'm done. So I did that. That was another 5 weeks of
yeah.
being without Alex. And that was hard because Chicoutimi was my first real experience in a significantly smaller town where nobody spoke English.
And they speak French with quite an accent there.
I mean, I went back to Montreal, and then after that, I went back to Vancouver just for a month to work and to say hello to my family and friends back here. And then I went back out to Montreal for 2 weeks before going on Kitimovic.
I remember email or MSN messaging you when you were in... When you were in Acadia, mm-hmm. that's in Nova Scotia.
No, nope, New Brunswick.
New Brunswick, sorry. And you were in a part of New Brunswick that is not exactly near Moncton or Fredericton.
No.
Right? You were in a pretty isolated, just below Gaspé region, right?
Yeah.
If I remember.
Yeah.
And the only thing on the other side is Maine, and that's a few hundred miles the other way, right? And Maine, mm-hmm. that's part of the United States that's all woods. There's not a lot up there. So you were very isolated. So did you feel, how did you feel from Alec? You must have felt pretty isolated from Alec in Montreal.
Yeah, and it was, to add insult to injury, the beach was 5 minutes away, and from the beach you could see the Gaspé region, which is Quebec, which Alex set foot on before I met him. And I was always reminded of that, and I was always wondering if the bay actually froze completely. I just like walk over or something like that.
So is it harder to be like quote unquote so close but yet so far away, or then
it didn't make much of a difference. It was just as hard, but I'd say it was harder because I was in a program, so there was some structure, and it was actually it's harder. It doesn't matter how far away from him it is, but if you're just too far from reach and you're in a small town where you feel isolated, that makes it hard.
Yeah.
So in Vancouver, it wasn't even that hard because there are a lot of other distractions.
Right.
There's efficient communication, emails, internet, high speed, and all that.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd be lucky to find high speed wireless or anything like that.
I remember.
out there.
I don't know if you remember, but I remember just talking to him briefly, and the computer would keep cacking out.
Yeah.
And then after a while, I'd be like, well, Alex is on, I gotta go talk to him, of course. And then, were you pretty frustrated with that whole thing when he was isolated and the communication? Because it was not consistent, right?
The communication was not consistent. We had, when connection dropped, at first I was like, where is he? Is he coming back, or did anything happen? After a while, I was like, oh, he's coming back in a few minutes, so I'm gonna wait. He's probably gonna come back on. Well, it was still frustrating. Because I was talking to him about something, but the message didn't reach because he was disconnected. So I was like, okay. he didn't get what I would be talking
about. And sometimes I'd get holes in his messages, and then I'd get mad at him because I'd think that I'd misread what he's saying.
Hmm.
And then he'd be like, what are you talking about? He get mad at me for me getting mad at him. And then we're like, you know what, let's just talk on the phone.
Trouble talking once in a while. We were sending emails, and sometimes, well, when we were out and we were not talking to each other, sometimes, well, we were reading emails, writing emails, but as we said earlier, after a while, well,
it's not
email or MSN,
fun.
it's not as clear. Fun. Not as clear as talking. It's not the same as
not
talking
after you've been together a few times in person,
And it's much better in person, or if you're talking to that person, because actually you have when you're with the person, you have actual eye contact. And if you're talking to a person on the phone, you have all the intonations and you know. But
so what you're saying is that kind of communication was fine to build to start a relationship.
But after a while, it wasn't enough. So we went there.
So what do you do? Because you're still far away, right?
We're so far away, so... That was...
We managed, barely, but we managed because I was there enough to satisfy that need. I was there often enough, and each time I was there long enough to satisfy that need before we prepared for another long haul. There were periods of time where it was almost like it was not long distance at all, because I was there long periods of time, and I would leave for only short periods of time, and then I'd come back.
Yeah.
And that helped. That helped, because that showed how we actually would be if we were in a actual together in one city type of relationship.
Also.
Which brought up a lot of other interesting issues at that time, which is more domestic.
Like, do you want to say, or?
Yes, Alex.
What? What do you have?
Well, I had a hard time with his schedule.
Yeah.
When I was there, I had a hard time. He did spend quite a lot of time with me, but he had some interesting challenges.
Well, what do you mean by schedule?
Depends if he's working. So he works a lot. At times he wasn't working, but his...
Do you pull long days, like these 15, 12-hour day kind of things?
Not 15, 12-hour days, but sometimes I finish like at 9:30 in the evening, and by the time I get home, it's 10:30, and I'm already tired since I've started like noon or something like that, so...
Also, you do different shifts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, when I worked on my previous jobs, I used to do on my first job, at first it was really weird shifts. After it got a little bit better, but then I quit my job and I found a new one, and the shifts once again went back up in weird shifts.
And were you working this time, Andrew?
Not really.
So that's hard already. One part. Well, Alec is working. And
well, I did know. I did my own research. Like, I did a lot of LMI, labor market research, for my career while I was in Montreal. But it was more luxury. I worked at home. I worked from my apartment.
Yeah.
I lived in East Montreal with Guylaine. I had a room with her. And she lived... all the way at the very end, the very last stop on the Green Line, and then it's a 25-minute walk or a 10-minute bus ride from there. And for Alex, that's about a good hour away from where he is.
An hour to an hour and a half.
Yeah, by public transport.
Yeah.
So, even though I was together with him, it was still long distance in some minor way.
Montreal's a very spread out city, isn't it?
It is. It is quite. Yeah. And
it's the second largest city in Canada, mm-hmm. but it's probably an area, maybe even probably bigger than Toronto, mm-hmm. if I remember right.
Yeah.
As far as all the neighborhoods.
And then there was time where I loved to come out at night, and he would be not up for that. Because he's a day person.
Yeah. Right.
And you're kind of the nightclub go-out person.
Right? Yeah, and I've never, ever gone clubbing with him. Yeah. Although I thought that would be interesting. He's still open to it, but he's still quite reluctant.
Well, there's always tomorrow night, right? In Vancouver.
No, I promised him I wouldn't take him on his first time to Vancouver, that I'd take him to other places and all that.
Maybe next time. We don't know.
Well, there's so much nature here, and it sounds like you're both into nature quite a bit.
That's the lucky part. That sustains us. I have a hidden passion for meteorology and ecology and horticulture and geography, and so does he.
I study geography, and mm-hmm. I have an interest in meteorology. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we talk about these kinds of things.
Hiking, but have you been out camping? Have you done that kind of thing?
No.
Well,
yeah,
the closest thing was Vancouver Island, I'd say. We backpacked. We were in hostel, but I mean...
Did you go to Victoria Hostel there now?
No, CNN.
Great.
And Ucluelet.
Ucluelet, yeah. Yeah. Or however
still
you say it.
A problem pronouncing it, Ucluelet.
I have no idea. I just made that. I don't try to send me
it
sound
was great.
Fancy. I didn't know there was a backpacker hostel there. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And there's one in Tofino, and we stayed in Qualicum Beach, though. We stayed in a resort in Qualicum Beach, so that was fun. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything like camping. It was quite luxurious, actually.
Yeah.
And, so it was nice.
You know what? They charged my credit card $130. It was supposed to be 60. But anyways, I'll deal with that later. I'd say we are, for some reason, I guess now that we're more mature in our relationship, the intensity doesn't cloud us as much. So I give more leeway for his lifestyle. And he understands well how my lifestyle works.
But it sounds like...
mix it up, yeah.
How about now, though? You've got a career and you're here. Right.
Now I have
and
a
Alec, you're pretty busy working back in Alex. You got your job and your life in mm-hmm. in Montreal. So what's gonna happen now? Are you guys gonna continue seeing each other? And this is the first time you've come out here.
Yeah.
So are you gonna continue long distance and Andrew goes and you come here and then just continue that for a while, or is there talk of somebody moving, or are you gonna go back to Montreal, Andrew? Or
why don't you explain this?
Well, you should see these guys.
First of all,
it's like taunting each other.
We talked a little bit about it in a panel. It was like, well, first of all, I want to see Vancouver before I take any decision because, well, I haven't seen Vancouver. So
there's a decision happening?
Well, there might be a decision as, okay, we're here, what do we do now? Mm. And there we are going to have to take a decision. But I said clearly, I don't want to make a decision before I see Vancouver because I don't know what it is like.
Decision about what?
About if we should continue, if one moves there or one moves here.
Okay.
If one moves to Montreal, if one moves to Vancouver, what do we do about our careers? What is our future going to be like together?
So are you guys both talking about ending the long distance, and that's not so much an option anymore?
We're thinking
anymore?
About solving the long distance.
And that would mean one of you move to one place.
It really depends, yeah, depending on the timeline and our career. So we haven't really thought it out, but we have agreed that now that he's seen Vancouver, that eventually in the near future, we're going to have to discuss what our options are, what's fair. There's a lot of things playing out, and he's about to get a career job.
Maybe. That's
maybe.
Sure.
And so that might make all the difference in a decision. My career is actually taking a very good start, but you know what? Who knows, right? Nonprofit, government changes. A lot of things can happen in the near future, and we're going to let it play out a little. And then we're gonna keep talking.
It's not easy though, is it?
No, it's not easy.
It doesn't get easier.
It's kind of unfair for you to get a feel of Vancouver just by being here for a week. Not unfair, but It's difficult. Right?
It's difficult. It's not a lot to see Vancouver, but yeah. still, well, I could for now only take a week, so I said, well, I'm going to take the week now.
But at least you have a good idea about
I've asked him to come back in the summer, and there might be a chance that he's going to come back in the summer. So that leaves a possibility for a second second look at Vancouver, as I had many looks at Montreal before we make very final decisions.
Mm-hmm. Are you in the kind of job where you can take a leave, like for a month, or would you have to quit and then?
Well, I'm working for the city, so in a way, maybe I could arrange things for a month, but that would be at the end of the year. Because up to now, well, I don't have any vacation since I'm working at a place where I'm replacing someone who's out because she's sick.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't have a permanent job, but if I do get a permanent job, I might be able to arrange my schedule to get, 2 weeks end of December and two in January.
I'm just curious, because I know as a teacher, if I can afford it and I give my employer long enough notice, I can take an unpaid leave without pay, and go and do whatever I want and come back to some sort of job. But you need to have a permanent non-contract job like that. And I wouldn't even do it now because my seniority isn't high enough and I could totally lose my job if I left my position. They just cut 50 teachers in this city. So I guess all that's kind of in the back of your mind. Does it stress you out when you think about that kind of stuff?
Well, it stresses me a little because I don't know, I've only seen Vancouver for 1 week. Mm-hmm. It's good seeing 1 week, but I would like to see a little bit more, if possible, but with all my job things and stress of the previous weeks, I came out to my parents a few months earlier.
It
was really difficult for them and for me.
Out to your family.
Yeah.
I don't actually remember if you're out to your family.
I'm out to my parents.
Okay. That's recent too, though, right?
Yeah.
I've been out to my parents before I even met you.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah, so it's been about 3.5 years. 3.5 to almost 4 years.
Okay.
I've been out. My parents are liberal.
Now, before you were out, did your parents know Andrew?
They met him twice.
Okay. Sort of as the friend sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so do they know now he's your partner?
Yeah, I told them. Mm-hmm. Well, they asked me who it was, and they kind of guessed, which surprised me a little.
It's not that surprising. My dad asked me. So did they outright ask you, or were they just asking about Andrew and you decided to tell them?
Well, no, they didn't ask. I mean, I just told them, and after they asked me who it was, I was just involved.
Okay.
And they said that they wished it was Louis.
Yeah.
What?
That's really weird. Our mutual friend. Like,
they wished it was him rather than me. But they were joking. They were joking, but just because he's over there, and they knew him a lot more.
Are they concerned about the, is that because they're concerned about the distance thing, like for you? Concerned for you?
We haven't really talked about it.
How old are you now?
I'm 23.
Yeah, that's about the same age I came up. And your family, are you Roman Catholic background? And is your family fairly religious? Or
my mom is fairly religious.
Would you say, as my mom's liberal Catholic, but she's really religious, but she's liberal? Would you say your mom's more conservative Catholic or liberal or in between?
A little bit more conservative than liberal in terms of Catholic.
Okay.
But fortunately, at least in terms of family, I have my brother who knows also.
Your brother? Did you say brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have an older brother, and I came out to him and his girlfriend, so we talked a little bit about it, and
they're really supportive.
They're extremely supportive, and that's a really good thing, because
And how about your dad?
My dad, he doesn't want to talk to me about it. That's same as my mom. They don't want to talk anything about it yet. So
my mom and dad sent me to see the priest, who was gay, like the gay priest to check out that. It was weird. Yeah, so that's interesting to deal with. Now, now I was going to ask about the leaving, about the possible relocation if there is one. You like Vancouver and Montreal, right?
Yeah.
You seem to like them real a lot, and you like French culture. So would it be a really difficult relocation for you to be in Montreal, or is it like as far as living there, or is it just about career?
It's more about career.
Yeah.
It's way more about career than anything else.
How do you think?
I love Vancouver as much as I love Montreal. Yeah. I love Vancouver maybe a bit more now because I've been away from it for so long. I appreciate my roots here.
Yeah.
And because most of my friends are here. But I still like Montreal.
How would it be about career? Because I know as a teacher, I thought of living in Montreal, that's why. And I think a lot of people who live in Ontario, and I lived there as a kid, have thought about living in Montreal. I'm not the only one. And a lot of my gay friends, for some reason, there's sort of that pull, and we used to go there every New Year. But when I seriously researched living in Montreal, I don't speak fluent French. You do. But you have to kind of prove yourself as being bilingual, don't you?
And what you do.
Yeah, and your field is counseling.
Is counseling.
Vocational counseling.
Vocational employment counseling, working for government in social services.
Have you tried to
recall in French, psychoéducation?
Have you researched about how that might be able to go in?
I have, and I've applied, and there were some people who were interested in taking me, especially for the bilingual anglophone job search, youth employment center. But they're very bureaucratic, and at that time, I was thinking about coming back to Vancouver anyway. Mm-hmm. So because of that uncertainty, they needed somebody, and that didn't go.
Yeah.
I was also planning to go to Chicoutimi because I had that bursary, so I declined that offer. But right after I got back from Katimovic, I went to Montreal to stay there for the summer. I had a job already secured here, and I like that convenience.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just too lazy. I just don't want to have to go to Montreal and look for a new job and take 3 months and risk not having an income.
Exactly, and jobs don't grow on trees. I noticed about Vancouver, the challenge if you ever thought of coming here to face would be, in Toronto, if somebody's interested in hiring you, usually within a month, they hire you. In Vancouver, somebody could be interested in hiring you for 3-4 months and then finally hire you. Right. I find Vancouver slow to hire.
Vancouver is so much easier to get a job now.
Okay, because the economy is going.
The economy has changed.
But a career job, I'm talking about.
Career jobs, too.
Yeah, okay. That's
helpful. It hasn't changed as much, but it still has changed.
I just found in the 90s this was a slow to hire city.
Oh, but 90s it was terrible.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true.
And the thing is, they pay a lot more here.
Pay more than Montreal?
On average,
average
income in BC, in Vancouver especially, is a lot higher.
My own section, that wouldn't be a problem, but if I don't, it might be a little bit of a problem. Yes, I have to admit.
It sounds like both of you, things are wide open, both your careers and opportunities.
Well, he would get paid an average of 30 to 40 a year in Montreal.
Yeah.
Whereas to start here in his field, technically you'd be starting at 40.
Okay.
So the thing is, wages are slightly higher here, but for someone from from Quebec coming here to find a job with his qualifications, it will be recognized, but there might be some red tape involved. And so the thing is, I find it would be easier for him to come here because I'm familiar with the job market, and as an employment counselor I can help him out. Like, so he wouldn't be doing this alone, whereas in Montreal I'd have to do it alone, because I mean, Alex is in his field, and it's not like he knows every job.
What's your field?
Specialty.
Geography.
Right.
Mainly map making, environment. And
you know, there's still federal government here, and bilingual employees always get advantage in federal government.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so there's all kinds of opportunity, but is there a kind of a pull between? Like, would you rather have Andrew in Montreal, which is just a difficult question, I bet. And would you rather have him here? Is there that? Or are you both flexible?
I'm unsure. Many times I must admit I felt that it would be much easier if Alex comes here. Because at least if he needs help, I could take him under my wing. Whereas in Montreal, my career-wise, it's quite far from his career field. And it would be limited what he can help me with.
Yeah.
So I also have a much wider network of social networks, not just like acquaintances,
right.
Career networks. I have a lot of friends here. I have a lot of supports, so I could support him. Uh-huh. Whereas it would be a lot more difficult in Montreal. Because I have the same group of friends he does in Montreal, so.
Well, not all of it.
I have a little bit. Yeah, but I mean, it's still new, right? So it's a weak network. It's there, but it's.
Although you've lived there a lot longer, you have the experience of actually living there too.
Yeah, yeah, I have.
So there's advantages of both sides.
Yeah, so it could be either way.
Long-distance relationships are becoming a norm. Not a norm, but a norm.
Yeah.
It's very common.
Mm-hmm.
Even heterosexual couples. I was on a plane recently, and I met a woman who was 50 who's been divorced and now is dating again. And she flies to Ottawa. I guess she has a career and money. She flies to Ottawa every 2 weekends, right?
From here.
And he, whoever he is, flies back, and she's always flying back and forth, and so is her partner. And I think actually they see each other every weekend because he flies on the weekend, she doesn't. And expensive as hell, I'm sure. But I don't know, and this is a couple of years ago, I don't know if they can still do that with the prices. But as far as, you know, and then there's, you know, and I dated somebody who was in Asia, although he was from here, so I knew he was coming back. So what kind of advice would you give for people after what you've been through? Do you have any advice that you would give to other couples?
I'd say for me personally, well, I just have friends now who suddenly find themselves in long distance relationships because they're partners are either going to France or abroad or for career opportunities or for study opportunities. So my advice to them would be, if you were together and you had a history, stick with it. Mm-hmm. It can be quite interesting.
I do have one other question that just came up. Okay.
And?
I'll get to that after.
And, but if you're starting off from scratch and you're thinking about dating somebody you met off the internet, don't. Chances are, how many people end up being like us?
No, I saw you. I saw your eyes widen.
Realistically, it's not feasible. Don't rule everything out.
But don't expect to be sold out.
Don't expect to be forever happy, kind of thing. And believe me, it is taxing. You will have to really prepare yourselves mentally, physically, and emotionally.
So how did you, what do you think of that, and what would you...
Well, I have to agree to the fact that you have to prepare yourself, but, and I know that our relation, we cannot draw a lot of generalities, like say, well, every relation is going to be like ours, but still, well, you could still try and see how it looks like at first, in my opinion. Try communicating and see how communication works. Uh-huh. If it doesn't fit, or if you meet once and it doesn't fit, well, unfortunately. But if it does fit, well, you can try and communicate a little bit, see how it's going to get better. If you know how to communicate well, it's going to be better, in my opinion.
Okay, this next question, I'm actually going to probably edit and put back earlier in the difficulty section, so, but I had to edit. Because the jaded people want to know, probably. What about what we call quote-unquote temptation? Like, as far as you're in the city, your boyfriend's far away. I'm glad I'm making you laugh because I was actually shy. I was actually shy about asking this question. So.
It'll take you a lot less longer to answer this question. You start.
Why?
Oh, yeah, maybe not, eh?
Well, I don't go out in clubs a lot, so, well, I don't have a lot of temptation, but I still have a little bit to say, well, he's far away and I could go for someone that's easier, but. No, I want to stick with him. Mm-hmm. That's a temptation, but still, I love him and I want to stick with him.
How strong is that temptation?
I don't mean to start fights.
No, I won't. I won't go there because I don't want to start any fights.
It must be strong. It's not a fight because I would say that temptation for me is very strong. Mm-hmm. Mm. Sometimes it is very strong. Sometimes it's negligent, actually. But because I do go to pubs, because I do go out with friends drinking. Because I do all that stuff that mainstream jaded people do. I'm saying that about myself. Anyways, we might have to edit that out. But anyways, I'd say it's a lot. You're putting yourself in temptation's way.
By being long distance, just
no being by having going, that lifestyle and
by going to clubs.
Just being extremely social, drinking, and flirtatious, and having friends who are flirtatious, and being part of that mainstream, more or less mainstream society, quote-unquote, that is more free to explore desires,
but do you,
more desire-centered.
Do you totally agree with that, though? What if you meet somebody at school, and you're in class all the time, and you're not, and you get in conversations with them, and you start to think, oh, this guy's pretty cool. Like, what about that kind of
that actually temptation? Caught me off guard a few times too.
And which one would would be if you were to succumb to temptation? I'm not going to have you admit or not, but if you were to succumb to temptation, which one would bother you more? Like if Alex met a friend at school and was like, I'm being hypothetical. Tell me if I'm being too
personally.
Hypothetical.
If that happened and he told me, I wouldn't be mad. Because I totally understand.
Because there's the fling in the club, whatever, and you're, you know, whatever, and then you know it's not. It's just. It's probably not going to be serious, and it's not. And then there's the, and this doesn't even have to be long distance. This has to be in any.
Yeah.
And then there's the being, getting attached to somebody who's close, who's a friend, right? Who's not just some fling in the club, right?
I'd say that it really depends on the situation. And I wouldn't get mad at somebody for doing something that I can understand. because it's everybody's weakness. And if you can call it a weakness, some people enjoy that. But setting your boundaries in the beginning is essential. Mm. And those boundaries can be whatever you guys agree on. It's not about set morals or values. I don't think that there's one set of values that's superior to the other. You set out how difficult you want how challenging you want your relationship boundaries to be. And I've admitted to Alex that I've sometimes succumbed to temptation in clubs because I foolishly drink too much. And
we talk about it.
Yeah, and I tell him. The thing is, trust is the key. And Alex trusts that if I do screw up, that he tells me. That I do tell him. And there were times I've met people through friends and they start telling me that they like me. I'm just like, well, I think you're cute too, but you know very well that I'm with somebody, right? So, you know, that makes a difference.
That's leading to another question about the attitude of that person. So remind me to get back to that. But Alec, I want to talk to Alec about this question a bit. Do you find it difficult or fairly easy to talk to Andrew about, you know, Andrew was talking about boundaries. Is that pretty easy for you guys to do, or is it a hard discussion? Or
it's not always easy. It depends on which boundaries, because, well, we have our lifestyle, and sometimes boundaries, well, the boundaries can match or be close to match, but sometimes they're really far away and we have to discuss about it to say, well, okay, you think this, I think this, and, well, okay, let's do a bit of compromise and bring them a little bit back. But
does this take a long time to talk about? You just summarized it in about 30 seconds, but well, I can imagine it. I can imagine this could be a long
time. Sometimes it can take a few days to talk about it.
A few days.
Well, we talk on the phone every night for about an hour or so, but sometimes it can take a few days to, well, we're going to continue on the subject and we continue the following night a little bit. And
I want to ask about how your friends, and I don't know, Alex, if you're encountering this as much as maybe Andrew, like I'm just imagining about your friend. You said somebody came up to you and said you're cute and whatever, and you tell them you have a boyfriend. And if you mention you're in a long-distance relationship, how do you find the respect of that is from people who are interested?
Actually, most of my friends admire it. They think, wow, you can do that. Wow.
Yeah.
Some of them, though, they admire it or they say it. But it's more like just a way to still keep on the flirting.
Okay.
Like, well,
do you ever get people who sort of say, oh, your long-distance relationship doesn't matter?
No, never.
That's
but they do say, well, what they don't know won't hurt them.
Okay, well, that's kind of what I mean by that question. Isn't that just another way of saying it doesn't matter? What they don't know won't hurt them, saying it doesn't matter?
They say, judge for yourself. We'll let you be the judge. So they put the onus on me. They're like, I'm not going to be your conscience, but I just find you cute, thought I'd tell you. They don't actually go further and disrespect my boundaries.
Okay.
But they are still tempted. And I find that reasonable, because just because you have a boyfriend, long distance or not, they're still going to be tempted.
Yeah.
So if they're going to be rude about it, that makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't respect my boyfriend, that makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
If they do respect my boyfriend and my relationship, but they're still tempted, I'm not going to necessarily entertain that temptation, but at the same time, I'll be like, well, I understand you're tempted, but, you know, this is how...
Yeah, the responsibility is ultimately on you, because you're the one who's made the commitment.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I rejected 4 offers, 4 relationship, not just flings, potential relationship offers throughout the first year and a half of being with Alex. And no regrets.
Have you encountered that kind of pressure yet, or at all? Or
pressure from?
So while somebody's saying they like you or attracted to you?
I haven't really encountered that kind of a pressure yet.
Yeah.
But, well, who knows?
You never know. Yeah. That's good.
It has happened to you online.
100 days have made me older since the last time that I've saw your pretty face. 1,000 lives have made me colder, and I don't think I can look at this the same. But all the miles that separate, they disappear now when I'm dreaming of your face. I'm here without you.
Positive that you find about your relationship right now?
We still have those similar geeky interests in meteorology and in our own hobbies, and we both appreciate nature, and I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. We're both, to some extent, environmentalists. We both like to go out and get away from the urban life. I find it very refreshing that he's not into the club scene. Mm. I go clubbing, I have fun, but I mean, I at times it's nice to actually know that I can go fall back to a normal life with someone I care about, rather than, you know, have him as being part of that. Hmm.
Do you think if Alec was here with you, or you were here there with him, that you'd be less into clubs?
Yeah. Because in Montreal, I never went clubbing. Yeah. unless, like, Adam was there, my other friend Adam, then we went clubbing. Like, yeah. Aside from that, I usually don't go clubbing if no one asks me to.
And Alec, so, we'll leave it with you. What did you say you've enjoyed the most about your relationship, or had most in common, or what you like the most?
Well, I'll go in the same sense as Andrew, since, well, we have the same interests, and we talk about it, and we discuss about it, and we share a lot of things about it. And it refreshes the discussion. Sometimes we have a little bit of problem, and after we finish talking about it, we start talking about our hobbies, and it lightens a little bit everything, so it makes things a lot easier, these sort of things. And also, we don't have the same view of life, so sometimes we see things differently, so when we talk, we kind of complete each other in a way that we don't see the same things. Mm. So that's a really nice thing that we share together, in my opinion.
Complimentary.
Oh, right.
He says.
Well, gentlemen, it's been great talking to you. And Alec, I'm great. Alec, this is the first time I've met Alec. It's the first time, and I'm interviewing him. Isn't that something? You've stood up to that really well. And
Thank you.
Yeah, you're both great on the radio. But I think it's wonderful. Thanks for coming on and sharing and talking about your relationship. I think it's quite great. It's quite beautiful. And I'm glad that you're here. So thanks again, and all the best.
You're welcome.
I woke up and I found that I was sleeping on the couch. Kissed away the papers I'm read. Half awake and a bit confused, just trying to understand if I was dreaming or not. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it when you're not around.
Well, it is now autumn, and as the leaves change and fall back to their roots, so do we. Alex has decided to remain in Montreal, and I've decided to reestablish on the West Coast. Our paths have separated, but I have no regrets, though. I sometimes thought of Alex as even more than just a boyfriend, or he could have been, whatever that means. Still, it was a precious 3 years of my life. One that has transformed me from an adolescent into an adult. I'm not for or against such relationships. I say you never know until you try. Best wishes to all endearing and flourishing in such relationships. And my sympathies to those who have had to move on. Goodbye, Alex. and yet not really. I will see you again someday. This has been Andrew on Beyond the Ghetto Within the Village.
Sleeping on the couch, if I was dreaming.